Thank you, Brandy. Open your Bibles here this morning, Book of Proverbs. We've been in this book a long time here, but there's a lot of good truth in here. Proverbs chapter 28. The title of my message is this morning, A Life That God Can Bless. A Life That God Can Bless. Verse 20 says, A faithful man shall abound with what? Blessings. But he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent. Let's pray here this morning. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. And Father, as we look into it, speak to our hearts, God, through your word. And I thank you for the Holy Spirit that convicts of sin and of righteousness and of judgment to come. And Lord, your word is truth. And Father, thank you for your spirit. And Father, I pray that we'd have ears to hear here this morning, that we'd honor you and your son. Father, help me be a vessel that honors you this morning. So Lord, bless us as your people gather around your word. Thank you for the book of Proverbs, Lord. Thank you that we can glean the wisdom that you've given to us as your people to live a life that honors you. So Lord, guide us and strengthen us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. A life God can bless. You know, when we live, we want to live in such a way that we stay under the blessings of God. And the issue that comes up, God says that your sins have separated you and me. And Isaiah talks about that sin can separate us from God. And yet God in his wisdom, now Proverbs is a very practical book. It helps us know, how do I handle this? Or how do I handle this? Or how should I think about this? Or what should my attitude be? It's a book that guides us into right relationship with God, because we treat our neighbor right, we treat God right. And all these little golden nuggets here, it's like bricks in a wall. If you take away enough bricks, what's going to happen? The wall is going to fall. But you build the wall of your life, each brick at a time, of truth and righteousness, and you have a great foundation and a great wall of truth that keeps sin out and keeps righteousness in. And Proverbs is that book that God has given to us. Very practical. It's where the rubber meets the road. And so, how can we live a life that God can bless? Well, verse 13 says, He that covereth his sin shall not what? Not prosper. If you cover your sins, you're not going to prosper. Now, what did Adam do when sin entered the world there? When God looked at Adam, he said, it's the woman what? You gave to me. And when God turned to Eve, what did Eve say? The serpent beguiled me. Can anybody relate to that? Am I the only one that understands how that works? When we're on the hot seat, guess what? We try to push it off on somebody else. And that's the way human nature is. Don't look at me. It's not me. It's this guy. You know what I'm saying? Now these are practical verses. Do you want a life God can bless? If you cover your sins, you're not going to prosper in God's kingdom and his economy and his world and his plan for your life. He that covereth his sins, in other words, conceals it, pushes it away, doesn't pay attention to it, pushes it behind him. That's the negative side of that verse. What's the positive side for us as believers? But whoso, now, that word whoso, I'm going to move this over right here so I don't trip over it. The whoso applies to who? You and me. That's everybody. God is speaking to everybody in mankind. But whosoever shall what? Confesses. Okay. Now, some people cover their sins. Others confess them. Do I need a priest to confess my sins to? Who is my high priest? Jesus Christ. If there's an issue in my life that's not right with God, now, I think it might be wise to even define sin. Now, in this world today, mankind has a good understanding of what sin is, right? You look in the newspaper and people understand what sin is. Is that right or wrong? That's so wrong. Now, God has a will and God has standards. Now, there was a fellow one time, his wife was sick. She couldn't go to church. He went to church. And now, he got home and his wife been lonely all morning and she wants someone to talk to. So She asked, what did the preacher preach about? And he said, sin. And she was wanting something more. And she goes, well, what did he say about it? He said to her, he's against it. Man, do you understand what I'm saying? Sometimes we're a little short on words. Our wives want a little more to it than just, he's against it. But how does God feel? Is that a true way how he feels about it, about sin? Is he against it? Why is God against sin? Because it goes against his nature. He's holy, right, good, pure. And sin is a grievance to God. It's an offense to God. Is God angry with the wicked every day? And judgment in this time of grace, but at some point, did God close the door on Noah's ark? That was the deadline. After that door closed, there was no more second chance. And in this day of grace, God is giving men and women the opportunity. What does it say here? But whosoever confesses, that is the day of grace he gives to all. Some people cover, they blame others like Adam, blamed Eve, Eve blamed the serpent. Nobody wants to take responsibility. Is there a victimhood mentality in our world today? That his grandfather did, that his great-grandfather did, and that's why I did what I did. A victim. Don't hold me responsible. I remember, I think I shared this some time ago, but I remember talking to a lady about down in Lancaster, there were some kids that vandalized some stores and broke windows and broke car windows and just went through downtown Lancaster. And years ago, and she said this little phrase, I just remember, she goes, I know why they're so angry. And it was like she was justifying what they did. Now, is it ever right to break store windows and car windows and throw rocks and all those? Is that ever right to do? I don't care how angry you are. That is no right to do those things. And some people are really blurry about what sin is. We can always blame somebody else. Well, they're angry. That's why they did this, you know. No. He that covereth his sin shall not prosper. If you want a life that God can bless, you don't cover your sins. But whoso confesses, now, do you see that next word in there? It's not just telling God you're sorry. What's the next word? And what? Forsaken. There's that's where the rubber meets the road. God says, are you really sorry for what you did? Now, I remember Chuck Swindoll told this story one time. He was a little boy, and he was in a store, and there were some softballs there. And he stole them. And you know what mamas do when they go through your dresser, putting your clothes in? He put them in his dresser. And guess who found them? His mama did. And his mama told his daddy, and his daddy said, where'd you get those things from? And he said, well, I stole them from the store. And his dad made him go down, took him in the car, and made him march into that store owner and tell him what he did. Was that a wise dad or a foolish dad? Wise. What did his dad make him do? Confess it. Chuck Swindoll got in the car. He said he felt about this big. But was that a good life lesson? That's a good life lesson. And see, if you confess and you forsake, then God knows you meant business with him. But if you say, God, I'm sorry, but you go out and do it again, are you really sorry? Do you know what I'm saying? Because if you don't forsake it, then you're not really confessing it to God in repentance. Repentance means you turn the other way. In other words, I was heading away from God, now I'm heading toward God. With that being said, are there any saints here today that are without sin? Any saints here that are without sin? Because this is how it works. Okay, we confess our sins, we try to forsake them, and we get victory in our life. And you know what God does in our Christian life? The closer we get to him, he turns the light up more. And we see things we never saw in our life before. Now, I've shared this before. When you go to a restaurant, why do they keep the lights down low? To be romantic? No, so you don't see the dirty spots on their dishes and their forks, okay? That's why the lights are down low, so you don't see the dirty tablecloth, okay? It's not romantic. They just don't want you to see all the dirt. What happens when you turn the light up? All of a sudden, all the dirt that you didn't see, you see now. Now, in our Christian life, we are here and God's here, and we move closer to Him. We confess and forsake, and then God turns the light up, and all of a sudden, I never saw that before God. And then you confess and forsake, and you move closer to God. And God is light, and the closer you get to Him, guess what? You see things in your own life. Now, was the Apostle Paul caught up to the third heaven? Did he get pretty close to God? Okay. Did he say he was the chief of sinners? Why would he say he's the chief of sinners? You know why? Because he got, like, close to God. And he saw his wretchedness. What did Isaiah say when he saw the Lord high and lifted up? Woe is me, for I am undone. I'm a man of unclean lips. He was a prophet. That's what he used his lips to speak God's word. But he said, next to you, God, I'm pretty undone here. Woe is me. Now, some people feel pretty good about themselves. You know why? Because they never gotten close to God. They just compare themselves to one another. I'm not as bad as this person. I'm not as bad as that person. I'm pretty good. Well, don't compare yourself to others. You compare yourself to God, and then you see your sin. Now, Romans chapter 2, verse 4. Does anybody know what that says? Romans 2, 4. Anybody quoted here this morning? Romans 2, 4. Know what Romans 2, 4 is? That's a great verse in the Bible. Turn there here this morning. If you don't know that verse, I want you to hide it away in your heart. It's a very short verse, Romans chapter 2, verse 4. Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness? Now, this is for a sinner. Okay, a sinner, you look down on God's richness of his goodness, forbearance, his patience, and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads thee to he that covereth sins shall not profit, but he that confesses and forsakes him shall have mercy. God's given you this opportunity. And people that walk right by it and say, despise it. Ah, don't you know what you're passing up? On judgment day, if God was to judge you of your sins, will you be found innocent or guilty? Okay, look at it this way. Let's just take a few of the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not lie. Have you ever told a lie in your life? Would you be guilty or innocent if God judged you just on that one commandment? Be guilty. Have you ever stolen anything? Would you be innocent or guilty? And thou shalt not take the Lord thy God's name in vain. Have you ever cursed God? Said his name in vain? That's blasphemy. Have you ever committed adultery? Thou shalt not commit what? Adultery. That's just four. I got six more to go. How'd you do on the four? Did you pass that test or fail? Heaven or hell, what would it be? Now God says to you, I know you're a sinner. This is what I want you to do. Confess them to me and say you've done wrong. And guess what? What does this verse say in verse 13 here? It says, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whosoever confesses and forsake them shall have what? Mercy. That's mercy. That's God's goodness. It's mercy to you. Now, where did your sins go? God's a just God. He's going to punish them. Where did they go to? He put them on who? On Christ. All your sins are put on him. You get a speeding ticket. You're speeding. And you don't have any money to pay the $250 fine for going 75 in a 55-mile-an-hour zone. You're guilty, and judge said, you're going to jail. And all of a sudden, somebody walks up and says, judge, I'll pay that fine. He writes him out a check, gives the judge a check. Can you go out of that courtroom with your debts cleared? You can. Pay the fine. Who paid for my sins and your sins and the sins of the world? Jesus Christ did. Now, a life God can bless. He that covereth his sin shall not prosper. So what does that mean for you and for me? This is life stuff here. Husbands, you ever said something to your wife that was a little rude or insensitive? Boy, it's quiet out there. Guess what? I can wave my hand. I've said things to my wife that was unkind. If I've hurt her feelings, if I want to restore the relationship with my wife, what should I do? Tell her I'm what? Sorry. Is that a good thing to do? And how does she feel toward me now? I won't be in the doghouse at night, should I? You know, it restores the relationship. That's what God is saying. Hey, if you have sinned against me, just acknowledge it and you can be restored back again. You can be restored back again. Wow. That's only in verse 13. There's 28 down to 20. I don't know how we're going to get through this morning. But do you want a life God can bless? Don't minimize the sin in your life. Don't minimize it. Because if you minimize it, you're minimizing the blessings of God in your life. God wants to bless your life, but you got to acknowledge who you are, where you need to be. And don't cover your sins. That's the first point. A life God can bless, they deal with their sins, verse 13. A life God that blesses, in verse 14, is one that fears the Lord. Look at verse 14. Happy is a man that feareth always. Now that word happy can also be translated blessed. Now the word blessed, a life God can bless, it kind of has an idea of divine favor on your life, divine favor, but also has an attitude, it covers in a sense the word that your inward attitude, that you're happy on the inside. It's kind of a both ways it works. If I'm under divine favor, then I'm going to be a happy person on the inside. It's kind of connected together, that sense of being a blessed person. I'm pleasing God, and yet I'm happy on the inside because I'm right with God and right with others. Happy is a man that feareth always. I fear God. Now, a man that feareth God, if he's tempted to steal something and that temptation's in front of him and he thinks, wow, if I take this, I'm sinning against God. All right, well, let's look at it this way. Joseph and Potiphar's wife. Was that a temptation for Joseph? Why didn't he do that? He said, how can I do this great sin against God? Do you see how that works? He feared God. How can I? It wasn't just a sin against Potiphar, and it wasn't just a sin against them each other, but it was against God. And a man that fears God is going to say, when God says, don't go there, don't do this, and they'll walk up to that and say, I'm not touching that. Now, if you saw a sign that said, don't look at the laser beam with your remaining good eye, would you look at it? Do you know what I'm saying? Don't look at the laser beam with your remaining good eye. You don't want to look at it, right? Because it would hurt you. I don't want to sin against God because guess what? God can inflict pain and punishment in my life. I fear him. Would you stick your finger in a 220-volt outlet? How many have ever stuck a 9-volt battery on your tongue when you're a kid? Am I the only one that ever did that? Okay. It's a very shocking experience. It talks to you pretty quick. It's like, how did this happen, you know? It does. And you learn quickly, don't put a 9-volt battery on your tongue. It's going to talk to you. But how do you feel about God? Do you have that fear? Your God. And when you step over it, God says, you're not thinking about me, I'm thinking about you. So a life that God can bless is a man that fears him always. When God says something, I'm not going to go there. Now, why do people step over the boundaries? But he that hardeneth his what? Heart. See, that's what happens. God says no, and you do it, and you feel guilty and bad, and you just hate yourself for what you did. And then you do it again and again and again. And afterwards, you don't have any more feelings about it. Because your heart is what? Hardened. It's not sensitive anymore. To pick saves, and they would like, you know, turn. They could feel the tumbles with their fingers. They would take and grind their flesh off their skin. So it was so sensitive that when they turn the knob, they can feel the tumblers working. They want to be sensitive to that. A hardened-hearted person has no feelings anymore. They've gone over the edge so many times, they don't even sense God saying, don't do this anymore. Their heart has gotten hardened. Did Pharaoh in the Old Testament, when Moses said, let my people go, did he harden his heart? Okay, God is just devastating the nation of Egypt over and over again. And Pharaoh, he would come so close to doing right and he'd just go back again. So close to doing the right thing. That's a hardened heart. God says, don't do this, and you do it anyway. Is Proverbs here a practical book? These are practical things for us as men and women. Happy, blessed is the man that feareth always, but he that hardeneth his heart shall fall into what? Mischief, trouble, calamity, problems. Now, I'm going to tell you like this. I am not a perfect man, but I want to be a man that loves God and does what's right. Like Paul in Romans chapter 7, he said, oh, wretched man that I am. The will that I will to do, I what? I don't do. And what I desire to do, I don't do. And do you feel that? Do you feel that in your life, that as a Christian you want them, and it's just a struggle? Well, what you want to do is you want to live a righteous life, because this is how I feel. I'm just telling you how I feel. If I am living right with God and I've confessed my sins and I have a good conscience toward God, and if I've offended somebody, I've made it right, and something bad happens in my life. Now, do bad things happen to good people? Sure. If something bad happens in my life, then I have confidence toward God that He'll use this bad thing for my good and His glory. But if something bad happens to me and I know I've been over here doing something and maybe I have not treated somebody quite right, said something that was hurt their feelings, and something over here happens, then I think back to this area here and then I feel a measure of guilt because I wish this area was taken. I didn't have any sin between me and God. So the best thing to do is to handle life. If you want to have a blessed life and a happy life, he that covereth his sin shall not what? Prosper. Confess them. He that confesses them, forsake them. Happy is the man that feareth God. Respect those boundaries. Don't have a hardened heart, because you can fall into all kinds of calamity and trouble. A life God can bless. Deal with your sins and fear God always. I'll tell you what I'm going to do here this morning. I have three more points, and I think some of you might want to go home and get some lunch. I don't think we can get through all this morning. A lot of other good verses here. We'll just start here, but we'll not get through everything here this morning. The third thing, a life God can bless, you deal with your sins. A life God can bless, you fear God always. A life God can bless, you treat other people right. Look at verse 16, as you treat other people right. If you want to be under God's favor, the prince that lacks, desires, needs understanding, wanteth understanding, is a great oppressor. Now, what is that talking about? That's talking about somebody that's not treating people right. Now, they may have not confessed their sins. They may have hardened their heart. They may have been very self-centered people. When Rehoboam, under Solomon, after Solomon died, wanted to raise the people's taxes even greater, how did the people react to that? They rebelled. I mean, big time rebelled. What did it do to the kingdom? Split the kingdom right apart. Now, a prince that lacks understanding, not thinking right, because what did Rehoboam did? He asked the old men in the kingdom, how should I handle their request to take it easy on them? The old people said, give them what they want, and you honor the people, they'll be your servants forever. He asked the younger people, what should I do? Oh, just lay it on them, more taxes. You're the king, you rule. He did what the younger people told him to do. He lacked what? Understanding. And he oppressed the people. That's not treating people right. The prince that lacks understanding is also a great oppressor. You're not treating people right. But he that hated covetousness shall prolong his days. Now, what's covetousness? Is that one of the Ten Commandments? Is that the tenth commandment?
Yes.
That's the tenth commandment. Thou shalt not covet. What's wrong with gambling? 6 days shall men labor by the sweat of their brow. You work for your bread. If I gamble, I'm trying to get something I never worked for. If I gamble, I'm trying to obtain something that I never labored for, I'm coveting after. That's why the root of gambling is wrong, because you're a covetous person. You're trying to take something you never earned by the sweat of your brow. Thou shalt not covet. He that hateth covetousness shall prolong his... If you're willing to work, honor God, treat people right, a life. Look at verse 17 about treating people right. A man that does violence to the blood, he's murdered somebody. A man that doeth violence, he killed somebody, shall flee to the pit. Now, what does that mean? Well, the imagery there, some people can be so consumed with guilt. I've heard this happen many times. It's like, this story, okay, it's horrendously bad. There was up north here, and it happened like last year or so back, there were some neighbors, and these young people to their other neighbor, they were throwing stuff onto his property, something that was putting stuff, whether it was their garbage, their leaves, or whatever. They were moving stuff, and he got mad, and he told them, get off my property, get this stuff. And they laughed at him and said, what are you going to do about it? Well, he went in and got a gun and said, get this stuff off my property. And they laughed at him and said, well, go ahead and shoot us. Guess what he did? He shot them and killed them both. Then he went into his trailer and shot himself and killed himself. What a horrible story. Okay, that's the essence of what is in here. A man that doeth violence to the blood of any person, that man killed two people. They provoked him to anger. He couldn't restrain himself. He killed them. Shall flee to the pit. In other words, he's fleeing to the pit. He is totally, totally, totally beside himself. Let no man stay him. In other words, there's no help for something. He commits suicide before anybody could ever get there. There was no help for the situation. Police got there and all this had happened. That's how fast things can come unglued. How could you avoid a situation like that? Don't do violence to people. You treat people right. Even though they may do you wrong, you don't return evil for what? Evil. If you return evil for evil, you're no better than the person that did evil to you. But if you return good for evil, you have risen up above that. Do you see how that works? You've taken the high road. And a life God can bless, you treat other people right. There is so much more in here, and we're going to have to save this for next week because there's just so much more we could talk about here. You want to be blessed this week? Deal with your sins. You want to be blessed this week? Fear God. You want to be blessed this week? Treat people right. Are those good things for us to do? They're good things for us to do. Let's pray here this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. Thank you for Proverbs, the practicality of it. Thank you, Lord, that we can learn and grow and have wisdom in life struggles. And Father, so many of us have relationship issues with people. We've had broken marriages, broken homes, broken lives. Because we haven't dealt with our sin, we haven't dealt with our attitude toward others, we haven't had the fear of God in our life, Father, help us toward this end, Lord, that we would deal with our sins. Thank you for Jesus Christ who died for the sins of the world. Thank you through him we can have the guilt that we bear forgiven and we can be cleansed in your sight. Lord, thank you for that gift of eternal life. Thank you, Lord, that we can be forgiven people that have new hope and new life in Christ. Father, help us to have wisdom. The beginning of wisdom is fear of the Lord. And God, may we fear you that we can walk the life of wisdom. So, Lord, help us toward this end. And God, guide us in righteousness for thy name's sake. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.